MZTV.
Look at the title of today's show, ladies and gentlemen. The snatching away begins everyone else's salvation. You will not hear this anywhere else. And perhaps I myself, over the years, have looked at the snatching away only as that is in the light of our salvation, the body of Christ being glorified. You know, God's order of things. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls. Those he calls, these he justifies. Those he justifies, these he glorifies. And we're looking forward, obviously, to our glorification. And we want to see Christ. And we want to go to our realm. That is, some of us do. Some of us don't want to do that, as I've been speaking about. And they want to stay here on earth and die surrounded by their grandchildren. Well, that's their problem. That's their problem. You know, it's okay if that's what you want. If you're in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter if that's what you want. You're going to get snatched away anyway. Sorry about your luck. Sorry about your luck, but you're going to go anyway. But they really want to stay. But again, the truth is the truth. If you're in the body of Christ, if we're believing that Jesus Christ died, and took care of our sins, that is, it's not a matter of our free will exercise, then you're in the body of Christ. And whether you want to or not, you're going to be snatched away. But we need to look at it in a way that I've myself have not thought of it as the beginning of everyone else's salvation. Okay, more on this. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. I'm excited about this episode and tomorrow's episode and every episode, but I just love being here talking about this subject. It's so great. It's so vast. It's so grand. What else? What could be more important than the things we are talking about? I mean, for months we talked about the nature of Jesus Christ. That was a non-selfish topic, wasn't it? I mean, we're concentrating on the glories of Jesus Christ. Had to shoot down some false teachings that de-glorified Christ, but that's okay. That's what I'm here for. And now we're talking about being glorified ourselves, receiving personal glory, and that's going to be great. But it's something far more than that. And I'm realizing this more and more, and it's going to come out in these letters. I'm going to continue to read these letters. And I'm putting together a five pieces of evidence here that really these people who are writing, who are speaking, they don't mean to be proving my thesis, my hypothesis, and yet they do. And it is that there is, within the body of Christ, people who want to stay on earth, and the reason is family. It comes down to family. And again, as I said, this is an issue we ourselves struggle with. But I'm going to give you the key today to understanding why your snatching away is the best thing that could happen for your family. Wow. Okay, before I get into this, I want to make sure you know that Thursday night, August the 7th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be live. I will be being, it's not really an interview. Catherine Holmes, our sister who labors in the Word tirelessly, making videos, interviewing many people in the body of Christ, a great student herself, always pushing out the information in a very creative way. In fact, I want you to see the thumbnail. Go to martinzender.com, my homepage, right now, and there's already a link. There's already a link to the show, to the presentation. It says it will be live in two days and so many hours, but look at the artwork. Go to my homepage. It's on the front page. My sister Kelly put it up there. This is the artwork that was done by Catherine Holmes, and I mean, it's just beautiful, very artistic, and I always appreciate people who, you know, it doesn't hurt to put a good face on the truth. I mean, you know, God is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make the truth beautiful. This is why I check my hair before I come on the air. You know, I mean, you don't want to go overboard, but you know. All right, so I was reading a letter yesterday from someone who calls himself Kun Kun. And, oh, another breakthrough today. Another breakthrough. I found a word in 2 Peter. It's the famous, I should say the infamous scoffer verse. Yes, 2 Peter. I found a word there. Okay, I'm going to get to that right after I read part of this letter again from Kun Kun. It's this, and here's the scoffer right here. And every one of these Acts 28 people, the ones who believe that only half of Paul's letters were for us in order to get rid of the snatching away, and the premillennial kingdom people that insist that every member of the body of Christ has to die so God can start this 500-year kingdom with Israel before the millennium. I'm just like, well, where do you get that? Where do you get that? Well, they pull it out of a bodily orifice and present it to us. And yeah, it smells that bad too. So, and it's all to get rid of this beautiful thing that we call the snatching away. But they're all scoffers. They all make fun of it. Here's the quote, the pertinent quote from Kun Kun yesterday. Quote, "You've been waiting 40 years and nothing has happened!" Exclamation point. Well, let me repeat that. And then I'm going to go to 2 Peter 3:3. "You've been waiting 40 years and nothing has happened." Like mocking me for being faithful to God and his promises. Because the temptation as the years go by is to think that God is not faithful. Or that we've made a giant mistake in interpreting the scriptures. And that's what they think. Because I've waited 40 years and nothing has happened. To Kun Kun, who is not very bright. I'm sorry, Kun Kun, you might be a genius, but on this topic, you're not. You think that waiting 40 years and nothing's happened means that it's never going to happen? Let me read for you, my friend. 2 Peter 3, starting with verse 3. Peter said, "In the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing." I love Peter for this. I just love him. It's almost like a stand-up, a little bit of a stand-up comedy. Scoffers will be coming. Oh, what will they be doing? Well, they will be scoffing, you can bet. You can be assured the scoffers will be coming with scoffing. But this part's not so funny. Going according to their own desires. Yes, that is in Scripture. I'm going to come back there, but let's see what the scoffers are saying. They're saying, quote, "Where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation." Kun Kun, you're a scoffer. Do you hear your objection here? Peter is practically predicting here what you wrote to me. And you don't realize, this is why I'm questioning your intelligence here. You don't realize that you are basically quoting scripture in your letter to me. You say to me, "You've been waiting 40 years and nothing has happened." Peter says, "Scoffers will be coming in the last day saying," the quote from scripture, "Where's the promise of his presence? For since the fathers were put to repose," you've been waiting 40 years. Since their forefathers died, these people who say the following, "All is continuing thus." All is continuing thus. That corresponds nicely and tragically, Kun Kun, with your statement. "You've been waiting 40 years and nothing has happened." All has continued thus for 40 years. Since our fathers have been put to repose, where is the promise of his presence? They're not only scoffers, they're mockers. And they're really actually mocking God and Christ because they're so tardy. It seems to us, why don't they hurry? God made a promise. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15 about this amazing event. And somebody was slightly mocking in the comments on yesterday's video saying, after I made the point that God provided the body of Christ with an accurate version that was done up with a scientific method at the beginning of the 20th century. And I said, this was the last days. 100 years? Somebody said, 100 years? You tell me 100 years counts as the last days? You have to back up. You have to zoom out of the photo and look at the entire 6,000-year plan of Adam. And if you look at that scale of time, you can see that the last 100 years, of course, it's the last days. We're saying the last 100 years as compared to the previous 5,900 years. You see how that's the last days? And now it's 100 years after that. And so we're so much closer. We're just, it's just, we're right on the brink, on the edge of it. I'm convinced of it. Absolutely convinced of it. But look at these scoffers. Where's the promise of his presence? Where is he? Where's Christ? You've been waiting 40 years. These people have been waiting since their fathers were put to repose. Maybe not their, their literal fathers, but maybe not their immediate fathers. Maybe their grandfathers, their great-great-grandfathers, their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers. Yes. And they say, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. This is, you're going to find out right now why I say great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers. For they want to be oblivious of this. They're completely oblivious. That there were heavens of old, and an earth cohering out of water and through water by the word of God. This was the first eon through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. This wasn't Noah's flood. Peter references that later and he calls it the ancient world. This he calls the then world. Odd language, strange language, I know, but he's under inspiration of the Holy Spirit distinguishing this destruction by water with another destruction by water. Noah's flood. Peter's not talking about Noah's flood here. Why do you know that, Martin? Because they weren't oblivious of that. They knew about Noah's flood. They were not oblivious. Because Peter says they want to be oblivious of this. You see, they knew about Noah's flood, but they did not know that there was a heavens and an earth of old. And an earth cohering out of water. This was the first earth. And through water, by the word of God, through which the then world being deluged by water perished. Oh, ho, ho. What's Peter saying here? God has done some big things. And oh, you've been waiting 40 years and nothing's happened? Oh my God, 40 years, that's such a long time. No, not as God counts time. And we think that because we haven't seen anything in 40 years or whatever, that therefore God has never done anything monumental in the past according to the timing of his aeonian plan, such as the disruption of the world. That's what Peter's referencing here. The disruption of the world. Oh, you think that things are just going along dandy. This is what the inhabitants on earth of the days of Noah were thinking. They were just going along marrying and eating and drinking and having fun because of this. They were scoffing too. Things have continued this way from the beginning. We don't have to worry about it. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. You know, Shakespeare there, a little Macbeth for you there. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace. So that's what the scoffers say. And Peter says, I remind you, God has done some wild things in the past, and he's going to do them again in the future. The heavens now and the earth by the same word. Yes, by the same God who said, who ordered the disruption to occur, who brought an earth out of water and destroyed that earth by water. That same God, the same word, are stored with fire. Ooh. Now God's going to destroy the earth by fire, not by water, but by fire. And that will be after the 1,000 years. So Peter's skipping a whole bunch of time there, but he's just bookending his remarkable statement here. He's bookending it with the disruption of the world on one end and the destruction of this present earth by fire at the end of the millennium. He says this in verse 8 now. Of this one thing, you are not to be oblivious, beloved. It's very nice to call him beloved. Well, he's not talking, you're right, no, he's not talking to the scoffers here. He wouldn't call them beloved. He would call them ignorant, oblivious. Yes, he would call them oblivious. And I call Kun-Kun oblivious. Kun-Kun, you're oblivious of how God works. Totally oblivious. I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's Peter calling you that. You're definitely a scoffer. Can't you hear yourself in this? 2 Peter 3:3. It's amazing. Think of this. My God, Kunkun, you're fulfilling scripture. No, I'm being completely serious now. It just hit me. You realize, in the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing. Peter might have seen you, literally. This is prophecy. And some people say prophecy is not being fulfilled today. It is. Kunkun just did it and didn't even know it. Oh, it's so beautiful because that's the way prophecy is fulfilled. The people who are fulfilling the prophecy don't realize they're doing it. The people who were crucifying Christ didn't know they were fulfilling prophecy. They had no clue that they were being used by God. Pharaoh had no clue he was being used by God. Kunkun, you have no idea that you're fulfilling scripture. Fantastic, my friend. You're ignorantly fulfilling the word of God. You have to say what you said. You have to say it. I almost say I honor you for that, but I don't really want to honor a person for being oblivious, but it's amazing, though. You're fulfilling scripture. Here's the thing. This is what they're saying. Where's the promise of his presence? Oh, no, I want to go to verse 3. In the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing, going according to their own desires. You remember one of the meaning of the word sect? The English element is liftize, L-I-F-T-I-Z-E, liftize. To lift yourself up, to distance yourself, to separate yourself from the crowd, to come up with something new. But also in the definition is preference. You go according to your preferences. And your preferences, it goes along with lift. Your preferences lift you above even the scriptures, because there are things that you prefer, like the Acts 28 gang and the premillennial kingdom gang. And, of course, the non-preexistence of Christ gang. They prefer, the non-preexistence people prefer that they can get rid of the preexistence of Christ just to make sure that the Trinitarians don't have this to use, don't have the preexistence of Christ to use. That's their preference, but Scripture speaks otherwise. Likewise, the Acts 28 people, their preference is to stay on earth and to die with their grandkids. Steve Martin thinks it's beautiful to die. Thinks it's beautiful. The contemplation of death is beautiful. That's his preference. Dean Wilkinson now prefers to die. And so the sect is a preference, and it segregates by lifting up that preference over the word of God itself. And I see that right here. The scoffers going according to their own desires. In other words, the scoffers are forming their own sect. And I have heard Clyde Pilkington do this. Clyde Pilkington is a scoffer, I'm sorry to say. He's said basically the same thing. He also was seen by Peter, or God brought Clyde Pilkington and Kunkun to Peter's mind. And these men are fulfilling this scripture. I don't have the quotes right now from Clyde. I've read them before, but it's along the same line. Where's the promise of his coming? Every generation, people who say every generation thinks they know anything, they're scoffers. They're scoffers. What are you waiting for? Clyde did say, quote, "You're wasting your time looking to be lifted out of your troubles. You're wasting your time." No, he's a scoffer. He's a scoffer. But because it hasn't happened, therefore it won't happen. You see how illogical that is? That's why I said yesterday when Kunkun said, "You've been waiting 40 years, nothing has happened." What's your point? So? What if I wait another 40 years and that has happened? So? That means it won't happen? Huh? Does that mean it won't happen? Oh, Peter says in verse 8, this one thing you're not to be oblivious of, beloved, that one, I didn't even finish this verse, I started it. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness. As some, Clyde Pilkington, Coon Coon, as some are deeming tardiness. They think that because it hasn't happened, they deem that to be tardy. So God is tardy. You people are still waiting for him. You're still waiting. He'll never show up. Oh, you scoffers. The Lord is not tardy as to the promise. And I say this to encourage you, to give you strength, that you're not wasting your time to look up and expect the Lord to return. This is why Paul says at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4, I think it's in verse 17, comfort one another with these words. These words are meant to comfort you. How can it comfort you if you think that snatching away is going to be 500 years from now? Oh, but that would comfort you if your numero uno desiro is to stay on planet Earth, oh, yes, and to die in front of your grandchildren. You see, that would be a comfort to think it's 500 years away if your goal is, if you love the eon, basically, you love the current eon. I am sorry, but these people love the current eon because they want it to keep going on. As I said in my description to my video, either yesterday or 2 days ago, is these people, Coon Coon, Clyde Pilkington, and the rest, they do want to see Christ, just not right now. They want to see him eventually, you see. I'm not saying they don't want to see Christ. They do want to see Christ someday. Someday, after they've raised their kids, after their grandkids have sat on their laps, and after they die, of course, in sight of their, after they gasp their last breath and drool out of their mouth and lose control of their bowels, all these beautiful things, after they do that in front of their grandchildren, then, you know, they'll wake up and then they'll see Christ. But they're like, they don't want him like to hurry or anything. Like, yeah, take your time, Jesus. We're good. We're good. We're all occupied down here. We do want to see you, just not right now. Ooh. I don't think that's very good. The Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness, but is patient because of you, not intending any to perish, but all to make room for repentance. That is, just to change the mind. Repentance, change the mind. Other people need to change their minds. Repentance is a generic word. It just means to change the mind. So, we changed our mind about God after we heard Paul's evangel. We changed our mind about the law. We changed our mind about sin, about how it can't condemn us. We've repented many times, not in order to be saved, not the Johnny Green type of repentance, like, you better repent. If you don't repent, then you're going to miss out on aeonian life. You need to repent every 5 minutes, every time you sin. No, it's not that kind of repentance. We changed our minds. I changed my mind about listening to Johnny Green talk. That's repentance. I repented of Johnny Green. Okay, so let's go back to my response to Coon Coon here. Boy, I'm just going off on a tangent, really, but I think it's been profitable. I left off saying this. Coon Coon makes so many erroneous statements here concerning never seeing family or friends again, as if a God who promises to exceed our every expectation would not allow us to see family and friends again. Why? You got to be kidding me. Also, 40 years and nothing has happened is exactly what the scoffers say. That's where I started out. Now, you didn't hear this part. This is new territory. My response to Coon Coon, that's available publicly on that day's video. I don't know when it was, 2 days ago. Coon Coon is an immature reasoner. I'm contrasting this with a mature believer. No wonder he gravitates to the Pilkington side. Seems more realistic and selfless over there, says Coon Coon. Remember what he said? I can't lie, Clyde just seems more realistic and selfless. Let's talk about that. Seems more realistic and selfless over there, says Coon Coon. No, that's not it, Coon Coon. Be honest with yourself, sir. Please, be honest with yourself. It's not that it's more realistic over there on the Pilkington side. It's just that you've heaped up a teacher, Clyde Pilkington, in accord with your own soul, what your own soul needs and craves, your own bowels, Your gut or your bowels, what you want in your gut. Your gut doesn't want to leave family members. Your own preferences, that's the definition of a cult. Your own desire, as we just read in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's not that Clyde is more selfless. In fact, Clyde's teachings are so selfish. Listen to me now. Clyde's teachings are so selfish that he will ignore obvious scriptures in order to stay where he prefers to be on earth with his family. And he will even take a beautiful verse like 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all be put to repose. In other words, we shall not all die. And Clyde says unreasonably and really ridiculously and obscenely that that verse applies to the consummation. I mean, I went through that the other day. It's just like the desperation is on parade with that interpretation. I've never seen anything like that interpretation. Nothing like it. Clyde's teachings are so selfish, he will ignore obvious scriptures in order to stay where he prefers to be on earth with his family. It's not that those of us longing for the snatching away don't love our families. And here it is. I'm finally getting to the topic of the show with 4 minutes left to go. Don't worry, I'll pick it up tomorrow. That's the beauty of doing 5 days a week. Oh, I just love it. It's not that those of us longing for the snatching away don't love our families. It's just that we know that the snatching away of the body of Christ is the beginning of the reconciliation of all, including our families. I'm tempted to label you, Kun Kun, a selfish, whining nincompoop. But I will refrain because that's not kind. All you care about, it seems to me, all you care about is your own desires, your own family, your own bowels, your own soul. You love your family so much, Kun Kun. The tribulation, as terrible as it will be, is the birth pangs before a magnificent kingdom on the earth. My point being, the snatching away will be the beginning of God's move to reconcile the world and its inhabitants and even the celestial world to himself, including your family, Kun Kun, your family, who they don't care about God, they don't want to hear about God. But you see, the tribulation will be God's tough love to bring them to a realization of the truth. When God's judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. And this is what it will take, and it will be the beginning of them waking up and realizing God. Yes, it's going to be a tough time, but are they getting anywhere now? No, they're on a treadmill of unbelief. Unbelief, unbelief, unbelief. When the snatching away occurs, we on earth, members of the body of Christ, are keeping the tribulation from happening. We're keeping the man of lawlessness from being unveiled. You know the verses in Thessalonians. We are keeping the man of lawlessness from being unveiled. Once we're gone, then all hell breaks loose. But no, I don't want to say it that way. All purposeful judgment breaks loose. That's what breaks loose. Sorry. Purposeful judgment breaks loose to bring people to an end of themselves. And that's what it takes for some people. God made them harder. And this is just another demonstration of God, another way God has of bringing people to an understanding of the truth. It's the beginning of God's move to reconcile the world, our snatching away. So I'm not now looking at it as, oh, we're being glorified. I'm looking at it as the next step that will lead to the beginning of, it is the beginning of the reconciliation of the world, including your family, Kun Kun. And it's all being held up by the body of Christ being on earth. Or I guess you just want your family and yourself to suffer as long as possible in a wicked eon full of pain, misery, torture, gloom, doom, weeping, and death. Oh, gee, that's real noble. That's real selfless. I'm being sarcastic there, sir. The fear that God doesn't know what he's doing. The fear that we can't really trust God with our families. We're the best thing that ever happened to our families. No, God loves. Here's another revelation I'll give it to you at the end of the show. God loves your family. Even more, far more, worlds more, eons more than you ever could or will. And our snatching away will be the beginning of him showing himself to them for their ultimate salvation.